This is Michael Cowan, and welcome to Trial Lawyer Nation.
You are the leader in the courtroom, and you want the jury to be looking to you for the answers.
When you figure out your theory, never deviate.
You want the facts to be consistent, complete, and credible.
The defense has no problem running out the clock. Delay is the friend of the defense.
It's tough to grow a firm by trying to hold on and micromanage.
You've got to front load a simple structure for jurors to be able to hold on to.
What types of creative things can we do as lawyers, even though we don't have a trial setting?
Whatever you've got to do to make it real, you've got to do to make it real. But the person who needs convincing is you.
Welcome to the award-winning podcast, Trial Lawyer Nation. Your source to win bigger verdicts, get more cases, and manage your law firm. And now, here's your host, noteworthy author, sought-after speaker, and renowned trial lawyer, Michael Cowan.
We're going to start a new feature on this podcast. It's Ask Michael and Mallory Anything. If you have anything you'd like to ask either Mallory or me, we're going to start doing an episode every couple months where we're going to answer your questions. So just send them in to me at michael@cowanlaw.com, and Mallory and I will answer them. Anything from, you know, legal strategy, marketing management, anything else in life you want to talk about, we'll be glad to talk about it with you. Again, ask Michael and Mallory Anything. Just send us an email. We'll be glad to answer your questions. Welcome to Trial Lawyer Nation. I am so excited. We have a legendary jury consultant, Robert Hirshhorn, someone I've wanted to have on the podcast since 2015, and we finally got connected. Welcome.
Well, Michael, thank you for having me. I got to tell you two things. First, this is the first podcast I've ever done, and if I'm going to do my first one, there's nobody in America I'd rather do it with than you.
So, oh, well, thank you.
Appreciate the offer.
And thank you to Lisa Blue for putting us together.
You bet.
Very appreciative. She was one of our first guests. She also just... I got to be a baby lawyer watching Lisa try cases way back in the late 90s, and she's had such an influence that she doesn't even know over my career, and this is yet another great thing she's done for me.
Can I just say one thing about Lisa?
Yeah.
I went to her house the other day, and she has a sign outside her house that basically says, if you want to do something for people, just be kind. And I thought, there's nothing that describes Lisa Blue better than a sign that talks about just be kind. So I adore Lisa. She's amazing.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I'm a lawyer. Went to St. Mary's, graduated in 1981. As I like to say, they paroled me in 1981. Started out as a criminal defense lawyer in what I consider to be my adopted hometown, and where you are, Michael, which is San Antonio, Texas. I was with Jerry Goldstein, and I was a young lawyer trying cases. I thought I was gonna be the next Racehorse Haynes. A new case came in, client told me the facts. I couldn't think of any way to win the case. I went to Jerry Goldstein, I say, Jerry, here are my facts, what do I do? This is 1984. He said, call Kathy Bennett. And I said, who's Kathy Bennett? He said, she's a jury consultant, 1984. I said, a jury consultant? What's a jury consultant? He said to me, Robert, stop asking these questions. Go call Kathy Bennett. I called Kat. I convinced her to help us with the case. We tried the case. We won the case. I turned to Kat Bennett and I said, you've changed my life. The tools that you bring to a courtroom as a jury consultant, this is what I want to do. I found my passion in life now. And so I convinced her to let me be her partner. And I was ultimately able to convince her to marry me. Kat and I had a remarkable 7 years together. And 1 year after we got married, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. So please, everybody out there, you or someone you care about, please do your monthly breast exams. So Kat passed away after we searched the world for the cure. And I had to make a decision, Michael, of whether I wanted to go back to practicing law now that she gave me all these great tools, or if I wanted to keep Kat's mission and vision of the world alive. And for me, the latter was what was right for me. I just Kat was so important to the legal profession, to lawyers, both civil and criminal lawyers. I mean, she's the one that kind of revolutionized the idea of asking open-ended questions in voir dire. She's the one that revolutionized the idea of using questionnaires. She's one of the early people that were doing focus groups in the early 80s when nobody else was even doing it. So Kat was my guiding force for all of this. And I've just, Michael, I got to tell you, I feel so blessed. I feel like I haven't worked a day in my life, even though I busted my hump for 40 years, but I feel very blessed. And now that we've created this new venture, the new things that we're doing now are all because of Kathy Bennett. And I look forward to telling you and the audience about it.
You know, I've always wondered why you never changed the name of your business. It's still Catherine Bennett and Associates, correct?
It is. And it's because, Michael, I wanted for the rest of my life to be able to hear Kathy Bennett's name every day for the rest of my life. And I do. I mean, between when we answer the phone, it's Kathy Bennett and Associates. I feel so connected to her. Every time I walk into the courtroom, I say a little something to Kat every single time I walk into the courtroom. And Michael, I got to tell you, I know this may sound hokey and I'm sorry, but it's how I roll. I think Kathy Bennett really gave me something magical. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly. And one of the things she told me is, Robert, don't waste this gift that you have. This is a gift that you need to use for the right cause. And Kathy Bennett's right cause were always helping the underdog. Whether it's an individual that got harmed and a corporation's not accepting responsibility, whether it's an individual who's being charged by the United States of America or by the state of Texas or any other state, she was always on the side of the underdog, and I believe in that too. And so my gift for my whole career has really been to help the little guy to try to even up the score. And it's what you and all those other great personal injury lawyers throughout Texas and the United States do. Is what we're trying to do is making sure that our clients get the justice they're entitled to. And I want to help try to get a leg up on those big corporations and those insurance companies that are doing everything they can to give you and your clients your fair day in the courtroom and your justice.
That's beautiful. You said, you know, you had a mission and vision. Could you describe that?
Yeah. So the idea is, we've been really lucky. We work hard. We've gotten some really remarkable results through the course of my career. And I've gotten the ability to work with some of the greatest lawyers in America, both on the civil and the criminal side. For example, Roy Black, who just passed away, may he rest in peace and may his memory be a blessing. We worked with Roy in the William Kennedy Smith case. He was a true believer. The lawyers that we work with, Michael, they are true believers. They may not be the most well-known, but they really believe in their clients and their cause. And it dawned on me that, look, the gift that I have from Kathy Bennett, I really want to share with more lawyers, but I understand that they can't afford me or our company and what we do in a lot of their cases. And I really was wondering, how do we bridge that gap? And that's why I think we've come up with something that's gonna help bridge that gap. And it's called Verdict Hub.
And I wanna talk about Verdict Hub, but before we get there, I wanna kind of give a little more background, if that's okay. So
yeah.
just so we know a little bit more about who you are, what are some of the cool cases you've worked on?
Okay. Mark Lanier here's a list of some of my cases. This is just since 2017. Remember, I've been doing this 40 years. This is just since 17. In 2018, Mark Lanier got a $4.6 billion verdict for 24 plaintiffs. Lanier, which, by the way, the United States Supreme Court, even though the amount got cut down to $2.4 billion, Johnson & Johnson had to pay.
Yeah, he actually collected it, yeah.
Yeah, that was a collector. That's collectible. We got, for Randy Sorrells there in Houston, he got a $372 million verdict in a case. Sean Tracy, we did the combat arm earplugs. These are earplugs that the military used that were terrible. We got a $110 million verdict for Sean. Kyle Finley, just this year, my boy Kyle Finley got a lit up Roundup for $2 billion in Georgia. And then another one of my favorite verdicts was right there in San Antonio, because Michael, I keep telling you, San Antonio, I consider my adopted town. And you might know about this, that case against CPS house exploded. And yeah. Mike Lyons, a great lawyer from Houston, great lawyer from Dallas. Mike got a $110 million verdict in that case in San Antonio. I was really proud of that Bexar County jury.
And he was smart enough to get a high-low agreement with a really big high, and so no appellate court can take it away from him either. It's a great result for everybody on that case.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have done incredible work before this verdict cup. Can you just tell us, like, what is the traditional process? Like, let's just say, Robert, I don't want to do any of this AI stuff. I just would like to hire you, Kathy Bennett Associates. What is that process?
Yeah, beautiful. Depends where in the life of a trial the lawyer calls me up, but the idea is they call us up. They typically are wanting to do focus groups or mock trials. And then we take the results of that helps them figure out how to try the case, if they should settle the case, what's the value of the case. And we do a lot of that. We do a lot of jury selections, obviously. But the thing about the focus groups, Michael, is they're really expensive. I mean, if you really want to get empirically reliable data, if you really want to do it the right way, it's an expensive process because you have to get a hotel to hold it in, or at a conference center or some kind of focus group facility. You got to screen these people. You got to pay these people. The lawyers have to put an inordinate amount of time in. It is a very labor-intense, expensive process, these focus groups and mock trials. But the results that they yield are phenomenal. I mean, for example, let me just talk about like Randy's case, where he got the $352 million. It was a case where a person was, they're called a wing walker. Those are the people that walk back an airplane. And a person was walking back an airplane, and then a fuel truck hit him. The rule was that when airplanes move, vehicles are supposed to stop because airplanes have the right of way. Well, this vehicle didn't because the sun was in his eyes, hit Randy's client. Okay, we do a focus group, and Randy and I are talking about what's the case worth. And I said, Randy, this is terrible, and you have it on video. I want you to hit a number that's so big you'd say, Robert, there's no way a Harris County jury would ever award that kind of money. So we did it. And guess what, Michael? A Harris County jury thought under those circumstances that wasn't an unreasonable ask. And that empowered Randy to go into court and ask for that huge amount, and he did it. Another example is one of the best lawyers I've ever worked with is Jason Itkin. Jason is brilliant at convincing juries to award astounding verdicts, like that $864 million crane collapse case in Dallas. That was all Jason Itkin with Mike Lyons, and they were just brilliant in that case. So what I do is I really work with lawyers using traditionally focus groups, mock trials, and then jury selection to figure out our best themes, our best jurors, to get our best result.
And that's awesome when you have the budget for it. And I don't think that's ever going away the cases where you could have, you know, a 8-9-figure result and be able to collect it. But unfortunately, not all our cases have that value.
Right.
So what is it you've developed to try to bring the fruits of your, you know, decades of jury research to more people?
Yeah. So, Michael, I'm 69 years old. And I was in the process of kind of winding down my career, kind of thinking about what my exit plan is. And I always came back to Kat Bennett and what she empowered me, this gift that she gave me. And I was trying to figure out, how can I keep this magic of Kat? How can we deliver this kind of insight, this kind of value to a lawyer that has a case that's worth $250,000, $500,000, $1 million. That, you know, these are significant cases, significant to the lawyer, significant to their clients, but doesn't justify our traditional tools. We need a new tool. Okay. I'm contacted by Bloomberg News. They call me up. This is about a year ago. They say, Rob, we want to do an interview. Sure. What's the topic? They say, we want to talk about jury consultants and artificial intelligence. And so we do the interview, and the reporter says to me, what's your view on artificial intelligence and the role of jury consultants going forward? And I said, easy. There's two kinds of jury consultants. There's one kind that uses profiles, and they do, what they'll do is they'll do focus groups or they'll do online surveys, and they'll develop a profile, and they'll give that profile to the lawyers to use. It helps them figure out their themes as well. I said, all those kind of jury consultants, they're going to be out of business in 4 years. There's another kind of jury consultant. There's jury consultants like me. I use instinct and intuition. Yes, I use those other tools, but like my dear friend Lisa Blue, we're all about instinct and intuition, like really sensing who these people are that are making this decision and not what a piece of paper says is the right or wrong juror. Okay, so I do the interview. It gets posted on Bloomberg. About a month later, the reporter calls me up and he says, Robert, there's these two AI guys that want to contact you. And I said, okay, so have them call me. So they called me and we talked and they said, Robert, we know what you do. We know how expensive focus groups and mock trials are. We also know about you and your vision about Kathy Bennett. And they said to me, Robert, what if we said to you that with the state of artificial intelligence today, rather than doing a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 focus group, you can do it for a fraction of the price and use, rather than real people, you can use people that are what we call digital jurors. They are literally artificial intelligence agents that replicate the mindset of people in a particular venue. And like they're saying this to me and like my mind, my head's spinning, like, what? I said to them, guys, you're either two of the smartest fellas I ever met or you're full of shit because you're con men. Okay? So here's what we're going to do, boys. I'm going to give you a test. In fact, I'm going to give you a couple of tests. And let's see if how you do. Let's see if what you're saying is true or if you're just trying to get me to make an investment in you and you're going to steal my money. They said, okay. So they said, sure, Robert. What's your test? I said, here it is. I have done an online survey in a case. After the online survey, we then did a focus group in the case. Then we went to trial, and the case ended up settling. So I know exactly the value of this case. I know exactly what the jury in this venue was getting and what the case ultimately settled for. So it was a perfect example. So I said, here's all I'm giving you, boys. All I'm going to give you is the exact same information that I gave to the original online survey that we did. That's all I'm going to give you. Nothing else. Nothing. They said, sure, fine. Okay. They run their survey. I get the results the next day, which automatically kind of shocked me. When we did our online survey, it estimated the value of the case of $7.8 million. When we did our focus group in the venue where the case was going to be tried, with real people from that venue, our focus group jurors said the case was worth $10 million. Then we went to trial. Then the case settled. Case settled for $15 million. My guys didn't know that. When they did the artificial intelligence survey, when all they had was the same information from that online survey I did, they predicted a verdict of $12 million. Now, it wasn't what was the case actually settled for, because that would have been really suspect to me. But it was certainly a lot higher than the online focus group, online survey we did, and certainly the live focus group. I said to the guys, we're going to test it a couple more cases. Every time the boys came through, and I said to them, I want you guys as my partners, but here's the deal. Ready? Here's the condition. We're only going to offer this to people that I perceive as the underdog. Because that's what Kathy Bennett wanted. Personal injury lawyers, that's who my target is. We really want to help them. We really want to help their clients. And my two partners, both of whom went to the Wharton School of Business, one of whom has 30 patents in the field of artificial intelligence, my two partners said, Robert, if that's important to you, that's what we'll do.
Wow. If you could tell us, how did they validate, how do they create the model? Like, this is this type of person. This is the kind of people we'd find in this jurisdiction. You know, this is how they think. How do they do that? Did they get like real people and test or any idea?
Yeah, no, I do. You're talking about the secret sauce, brother.
Yep.
So I'll tell you a little bit about the secret sauce. Brothers and sisters listening to this podcast, we are in a revolution. It's an artificial intelligence revolution that we're in, okay? It's here to stay. You can close your eyes and hope and pray it doesn't happen, or you can say, you know what? I want to be part of the process. I want to make sure I don't get left behind. So what we do is artificial intelligence is now so smart. It can not only completely and accurately predict the makeup, the composition of any venue, whether it's 1,000 people or 100 million people, whatever your venue is, it doesn't matter what the size is, okay? It can replicate, that it understands who are the people that live in that venue because they're using all the information from artificial intelligence, from the internet. It's taking all that information that's on the internet and it's gathering it to get an understanding of who, not only are the people, but the people in this particular venue. So here's what we're doing. A lot of people have heard of Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini. There's lots of, they're called LLMs, large language models. There's a bunch of them out there. Here's, I'm gonna get to the shortcut answer to your question. Here's what we're doing. I want you to imagine that you go to ChatGPT. Imagine it five times even better than it is. That's what we're doing. What we're doing is we're going to a variety of large language models, and each of them have different strengths. Like GPT, it's really good at, like, it could generate photographs, it could generate images, but some of the other ones aren't good at that. So we looked at all the strengths of all the LLMs out there, put together a patent-pending group, and that's what we're using to drive these surveys that we're doing.
But when you've tested them against real results, they've been fairly accurate as far as this is what we're getting with real people, this is what we're getting with the AI models.
But remember, we got to go apples to apples, Michael. So, yes. Right, it's a survey. The survey, all it does is it's telling you at this point in time what people, what digital jurors think the value is, right? We use 200 digital jurors, and then you take the data from the 200 digital jurors, you come up with averages. That doesn't take into consideration deliberations, right? So averages and end results could be completely different, but we've measured it. So when we do our focus groups, every single focus group we do now, we always run an artificial intelligence survey first. It helps the lawyers figure out the themes that are going to resonate, and then they test them out on our survey, on our focus groups. So what we do is we measure the results we get from our artificial intelligence surveys to the results of where the actual jurors are standing at the end of the defense presentation, right? Because when you do a survey, what you're giving a jury is a digital jury, a real jury. You're giving them a summary of the plaintiff's case, you're giving them a summary of the defense case, and then you're asking them some questions, some legal questions, negligence, apportionment, damages, right? But you don't get the benefit of rebuttal, you don't get the benefit of deliberation. So to go apples to apples, it has to be at the end of the defense presentation. And the results we're getting are amazing. We did one for Mike Lyons. And it was all about apportionment. The key issue was, what's the apportionment that they're going to put on the target defendant? Because they were really worried there were so many defendants, it would dissipate the amount they would put on the target. Our artificial intelligence survey predicted 38%. When we did the actual live focus group, it predicted 36%.
Wow.
We were stunned when we got that. And it just, we're seeing it time and time again. Now, with this caveat, Michael, garbage in, garbage out. If you only load up your side of the case and don't do a fair job with the defense, that's garbage in, you're going to get a garbage result. So it's really important that the lawyer really present both sides of the case so you get a fair result, whether it's a focus group, a mock trial, a survey, or any other device like that.
And I think that's one area where, you know, jury consultants like you really help keep us honest. Because, you know, like, I have people in my office. I don't really have the patience for it. I get bored with things pretty easy when I'm not actively litigating. Yep. I can do a focus group, but I have people in my office, the partners, that are really good at doing focus groups. But where we really need the helper in two areas. One is evaluating the presentation and are we being fair to the defense? Are we believing our own BS? Are we maybe even underselling ours a little bit? Because sometimes we want to get a case settled. We secretly don't, you know, there's cases we love more and cases we don't love as much. You know, they're kind of like uncles and cousins. And you don't want that to affect it. You want to make, you know, get a good judgment. And the other thing is, you know, when we get information, like I can go do my own focus group and get people to talk a lot. Now, what I do with that information is a whole nother story. That's where someone like you can make a huge difference in the consulting. But I think especially, you know, getting data to start is always valuable. If you can get data more quickly when you get started and for a lower price, that's awesome. And yeah. Getting data on cases that where you just don't have the budget. And, you know, if you have a case where, you know, you're hoping to get, you know, 150 to 300, you're wanting to see, you know, is that 300 too low? Could I get 400 or am I being insane? Am I never going to get more than 100? This would be really good for that. But on bigger cases, I would think that you could use this in conjunction with other traditional methods. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Like, let's just say I have a case I think it hit for $50 million.
Yeah.
What would be the other things I would do?
Okay. So let's lower the bar a little bit. I think what I'm about to say applies to any case where the lawyers believe potential value is $5 million or more.
Okay.
You have to do some kind of survey to begin. Whether it's with the kind we're doing or with big data, you got to do some kind of survey to kind of take people's pulse on what they think about the case, what they think about the apportionment, what they think about economic damages, non-economic damages. Do the economic damages drive down the non-economic damages? There's lots to be considered. So that's why you got to start doing some kind of research early. Now, after you do some kind of focus group, you then want to do some kind of online or artificial intelligence survey. After you do that, then you want to do a focus group. And again, the reason is because the information you just learned from the survey, when it gives you your themes that you should use or the jurors you should consider picking for this jury or putting on your jury, does it really work? Do the themes work? Are these the right jurors for the case? That's why you want to do it. The real reason why I want lawyers to do it, because look, if they're hiring me, I got the jury. I know what the theme is. I know the kind of jurors we're looking for. Okay. The reason why I want lawyers to do the focus groups is because we tend to get real myopic in our vision. We tend to like fall in love with our clients. We fall in love with our cases. We hardly ever spend the time we really should thinking about the defense side of the case. And so the focus group really forces the lawyer to analyze and put some kind of ranking to the evidence in the case, the witnesses in the case, the themes of the case for both the plaintiff and the defense. So that's the value I see in focus groups is not just getting the results, the apportionment numbers, the damages numbers, but it really forces the lawyer to get ready for either the trial or the mediation that they've got coming up. Then after you do that, I sometimes do a mock trial. Difference between a mock trial and a focus group. Focus group is lawyer talk only. A mock trial is where you have not only lawyers making arguments, but then you layer up witnesses and more evidence. I'm not doing that many mock trials because I'll tell you what, the only time I do a mock trial is if the case is going to be driven by some fact witness or some expert witness. Because if the whole case is going to boil down to which expert are you going to believe or which fact witness version are you going to believe, you're going to believe the cop or are you going to believe the driver that just got seriously hurt in the car, right? That's when you want to do a mock trial, when you have those kind of credibility choices that are going to drive your case. But unless that's driving the case, don't do a mock trial. Too expensive, costs too much, takes up too much time. Do a focus group.
And this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but I'm just thinking a little bit about mock trials. Let's say you're going to put the plaintiff expert versus the defense expert. Do you just get them both on video and make sure you ask the right stuff in deposition, or do you get an actor to play one or the other?
No, never do actors. Uh-uh, never. So everybody, listen. I know it costs money to videotape these depositions. Here's Hirshhorn's view. It's ineffective assistance of counsel if you do not videotape your key witnesses. I personally think you should be videotaping them all, but at the very least, videotape your key witnesses for both the plaintiff and the defense.
I agree 100%, and it doesn't cost that much to video, honestly.
It doesn't.
It's a lot cheaper. Respectfully, it's a lot cheaper than a jury consultant or a focus group.
It is. But
you need to have, like you said, garbage in, garbage out. You have to have good data. If you want to evaluate witness credibility, video is a lot better than reading it.
Right, right. And you don't want to use an actor, Michael, because, like, it never works.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, the only, if that's your only choice, okay, fine, do that and get somebody that has the same demographics and that kind of stuff. But the problem with actors is you never know if the actual witness is going to be as good as, better, or worse than what you just put up there. So you're not going to get an accurate read. That's why we really shy away from the actors.
Yeah, I think the only thing, the difference is if you're going to do that mock trial, then before you take certain depositions, you need to plan for not just getting the information you need for your trial, but creating the video clips, which may even mean letting the person tell their story without and waiting to cross them so that you can sequence it that right.
I completely agree. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've yet to do a full-on mock trial. I've done focus groups, but I've yet to do a full-on mock trial.
We'll find the right case for you, brother.
Exactly. I've got a courtroom in my office. I'm ready to do it. I just got to find the right case.
Okay. And, there you go. Beautiful. So
I want to talk a little bit about, okay, say, you know, I've got, my mind is racing. I'm thinking, okay, what are some cases I could do this on? This could be a lot of fun. I know you gave me an offer last week to try it, and unfortunately I had a couple things pop up in my office where I just didn't have the bandwidth.
I get it.
But what would I need to do to put together the materials? What kind of stuff would you need?
Yeah. Ready? Yeah. Look, Kat Bennett is all about being efficient. We're all about being efficient then. We like to think of ourselves as a speedboat, not a battleship. If I'm asking lawyers, if I got to have them do a whole bunch of stuff, they're not going to do it. It's not going to be productive. Being a former lawyer, I totally get it. All right, here's all I need the lawyer to do. Put together a case overview of the plaintiff's case, an overview of the defense case, a jury charge, a verdict form, and then here's the gold. If you could sit down and talk to a juror and tell them about your case and ask them questions about your case, what questions would you want to ask jurors? And we can include those too. An unlimited number. If you want to do 10 questions about the case, you could do 10. You want to do 100 questions about the case, we could do 100 questions. It's just however many questions you have. And let me tell you, your audience, Michael, tell me if I'm the only lawyer, jury consultant, that's worried about this. Michael, you ever worried about those conservative jurors that you're getting on your jury and whether they're good or bad jurors for you? You ever worry about those conservative, I don't say this, I'm not being political, I'm not being pejorative, MAGA jurors. Are you ever worried about them, Michael?
Honestly, I take MAGA over country club, but that's another story. But, you know, there is always the worry about certain demographics. I mean, I know that demographics aren't entirely predictive, and that's where when we talk a little bit later about still the role for intuition and listening and body language when we actually get to jury selection. But yeah, that's always an issue. Well, and I had a case that I tried. We resolved the case we're going to come back and do closing arguments on a Monday morning, and we resolved the case Saturday night.
Beautiful.
But we talked to the jurors afterwards, and, you know, I thought we were doing really well at trial, and we had 8 strong for us. 8 were, like, really strong, including a couple that followed me to the elevator saying, don't worry, I was never going to let these people leave. But we had 2, and they were demographically exactly who they – I mean, one was, like, a banker, and one was a financial wealth management type person. And they were 100% strong. I mean, they were actually, like, arguing. It was like a focus group in the hallway.
Yeah,
because the defense lawyer had already grabbed them. I get there, and they're arguing with each other in the hallway when I walk up. And
yeah,
it scared the crap out of me. Cause
yeah,
like,
and it should
I don't know. It made me feel a little better about settling. I don't, like, you think I'm starting off 8-2 with 2 kind of in the middle. I would have done fine, but that's not necessarily true.
Now, if they were strong personality types, maybe not.
Right.
Okay. Both on liability, but usually what they do is they really bang you up when it comes to the damages piece of the case. So here's my point to you.
Yeah.
One of the key questions we're doing now, Michael, and lawyers are loving this. It goes something like this. To conservative jurors in Bexar County, Texas, or Harris County, or Dallas County, whatever county you're practicing, Smith County, I don't care what county you're in, to conservative jurors in that venue, what kind of argument, what kind of evidence would appeal to them to either put a higher percentage of responsibility on the target or award more non-economic damages. We are really fine-tuning it to the point where we can really zoom in on the kind of jurors we're worried about and figure out, is there a way to turn that, assuming we can't get them off for cause or preemptorily, is there a way we can turn them around on our case? This is great stuff. You know, Lisa Blue's got a whole speech about this. Between Lisa Blue and what we're doing now with artificial intelligence, we're really getting some great stuff. We're going to be making inroads, and that's how we're going to be getting some of these better jurors. And again, it's not on the 8, 9, or 10 digit verdict cases. We could do this on those smaller cases too. And once you start doing that, now you start developing your themes, and now you can start getting consistently larger and better verdicts.
Do you also offer somebody to look over the stuff before you feed it into the machine to make sure that, you know, we're actually not doing garbage in?
Yeah. So what we do is, there's actually two different ways we do it. One is where we put everything in the hands of the lawyer, right? And there we got to rely on the lawyer. We'll still look at it. We could determine if it's going to be leaning towards the plaintiff or the defense. Look, we already know it's going to be leaning plaintiff the vast majority of time anyway. The other option we have is where you, the lawyer, give us all the information. Give us the key deposition, you know, give us transcripts of key depositions, give us the key evidence, give us the key motions for summary judgment, whatever you think is key to your case, give it to us, we'll run it through our system, we'll work up a case overview for you, we send it to you or the lawyer to look at it and tell us, have we missed anything? Is there any part of this case that we've missed? That's another option that we have. I prefer the first option because it's quicker, it's easier, and it really forces the lawyer to focus in on their case. We do it either way.
There's huge value in doing that. I mean, the more time you spend thinking about the big picture of your case, the better you end up doing.
Exactly.
So once you get something that you can feed into the machine, how long does it take to get the results?
3 days.
Wow.
Max. Not 3 weeks, 3 days. And I'm going to tell you the best part, almost the best part. You ready?
Yep.
You've run your survey. You've gotten your results. Now a new piece of evidence comes in. Now you've taken a new deposition. Now the judge has made some ruling that might impact your case. Something happens in your case, and you want to know the effect. How is that going to affect my case now? You get to run it again.
Oh, wow.
No charge. No charge. You get to run it 3 times. No charge.
So I know, what the traditional focus groups cost. What does this process cost? What's the price range for something like this?
Okay. You and I have not practiced this, okay?
Yeah, so, we have not. I have no idea what your answer is going to be.
Right? Can I ask you, I hate to put you on the spot, bro. Well, just take a guess on what you think this would cost. Take a guess.
Between $5,000 and $10,000?
Okay. $3,000, and you get 3 free reruns.
Wow.
So you're basically getting 4 surveys for under $1,000.
You know, that might even be useful on... I'll give you an example. I just met with a lawyer before I spoke to you on a case that I call a gray area. It is a case that we might want to take, we might not want to take. We have automatic yeses, we have automatic noes. It's in the gray area. You know, I will spend more than $3,000 if I file this case in the first 30 days. I mean, we have to hire an expert. So before spending that money, maybe spending $3,000 and saying no to the case may be the best return on investment for all the time. And or maybe it tells me that it is a case I should go take and then not lose out on that opportunity rather than going straight from our gut.
So it's not only that, because now you're going to get empirical data behind it. Michael, sometimes you have cases where you're not sure what venue to file it in.
Yeah.
There's some of those cases. All this works for that as well, because we can run the exact same artificial intelligence survey in both venues and figure out for both apportionment and damages where you're better off filing it. But what you've hit on is exactly the point. Look, every lawyer's had a case where they've taken it, they thought they had a good case, they've spent tens of thousands of dollars, and it turns out it's not nearly as good as they thought, or they get a bad result. And I personally believe that for before a lawyer invests that kind of money, they ought to use something like this to get some kind of empirical data that will give them guidance as to, is this the, should we take the case or not? And this is the perfect tool because it's not only inexpensive, you get the results quick.
Yeah.
So like you send me the information. And by the way, in a brand new case like that, Michael, you're not going to have very much information. It's brand new. You may have, unless it's coming over from another lawyer, if it's literally a brand new case walking in the door, you're not going to know very much about it. Even when you don't know very much about it, we can run one of these artificial intelligence surveys and give you valuable data on liability and damages. And then as you learn more about the case, you can run it again and again and again at no extra cost.
That's awesome. So, where can people find you? I mean, I will put a link to your website in the show notes, but I mean, if someone wants to learn more or maybe even use the product, how would they find you?
Yeah. So the name of our company is called Verdict Hub, just like it sounds. So our website is verdicthub.ai. We also bought the URL for verdicthub.com because so many of us are so used to typing in .com. We just bought it. And then, so even whether you put in verdicthub.ai or verdicthub.com, it'll get sent over to our website. So there's one other thing I do want to tell you about. There's one other aspect of what we're doing that's really helpful. Have you ever done a shadow jury in a trial, Michael?
I've not personally done them. I've had the other side do them.
Yeah. By the way, next time you're in a case where the other side does one, whether it's opening statement or when you examine your witnesses, point out either in your opening or in your examination that you see those people sitting right there who look just like the ladies and gentlemen of the jury. That's a shadow jury the defendants have, right? Okay. Right? Now, objection, sustain. But now you've outed them. So if that ever happens to you again, that's how you fix that problem. Okay. We can do a shadow jury using artificial intelligence. All we need are daily transcripts. All we need to know is, you know, the information that the jury's being exposed to every day, and then the information on the jury. So let me tell you a story about this. Okay. I was doing a case for a lawyer, a criminal case, a great lawyer, David Gerger. And we're in federal court, and all we had was a short little questionnaire that the jurors filled out, my notes, and a transcript from opening statements. That's all we had. We ran it through Verdict Hub, and Verdict Hub came back with the result and said that we believe that at the end of this trial, the jury's going to be hung 8-4 for conviction. It also said what our best arguments would be, the best evidence we should emphasize. It gave us kind of a roadmap of what to try to do to get even a better verdict if we could. Okay. Tried the case for 2 weeks. Remember, this is all done at the end of opening statement. Tried the case for 2 weeks. The jury was out for 3 days. They deliberated for 3 days. And at the end of it, the judge cleared a mistrial because the jury was hung 8-4.
Oh, wow.
Exactly what artificial intelligence predicted. Now, there, we only ran it on the first day of trial, you know, just at the end of openings. You can literally run this every single day and get feedback every single night about your case. We call it the Verdict Hub shadow jury that we do. There's nobody in the courtroom. You don't have to worry about getting outed. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a great tool.
And does that use the demographics, you know, lined up with the juries you actually picked, or is it just kind of still the county?
No. Jurors in the box.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
In the box. And Michael, dude, this stuff is crazy. If I wasn't in the middle of this and I was hearing this on your podcast, I was thinking, there's no way this guy could do all this kind of stuff. And I'm telling y'all, this really does work. This stuff, we can do all this. So when you do a shadow jury, you basically take people that mirror the seated jury, the strongest members of the seated jury. The way we do our shadow juries with artificial intelligence. So you have, let's say you got a 12-person jury. So you got 12 jurors, right? We don't just run the case through one jury of 12 with those demographics. We do it through 5, 7, 10 groups of juries of 12, and then we average up all their results. The gold is when you say to them, all right, what kind of evidence do you want to hear? What would it take to get you, you know, are you believing what the plaintiff's lawyer is saying? Are you buying the defense in this case? What are you thinking about the witness? What kind of question should I ask on cross-examination? All of that is the gold in this kind of stuff that we're doing in terms of the shadow juror, artificial intelligence shadow jurors that we're doing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
So what's next? What do you think the next frontier is?
Here's what I can tell you. I don't believe anytime soon that lawyers are going to be replaced. I really don't. Until we replace judges and jurors with artificial intelligence, lawyers are going to be okay. But you got to see them as your co-pilot. They're not your co-counsel. They're your co-pilot. So as long as lawyers understand that artificial intelligence is here to stay and let's figure out the right way to do it, you should. But listen, we can't just turn everything over to artificial intelligence because I think that's wrong also. So when you are using your co-pilot, when you're using your artificial intelligence to help you with things like, you know, crunch down all the massive data that the defense just put on you, to do outlines for your cross-examinations or for your depositions. Those are all different uses of artificial intelligence, none of which I'm involved in. But those are uses that lawyers are having for it. You still have to have the human touch. You still have to put your eyes on it, all right? You still have to check your instinct, because if your instinct will never lead you wrong. So if you hear something or read something from artificial intelligence that doesn't follow with your instinct, brothers and sisters, follow your instinct.
Yeah, and I think there's two things on that. One, I do think during jury selection, there is a, and some people have a better gift for it than others, there is a aspect of intuition, reading body language, just feeling the energy coming off of somebody. And frankly, because of the mindset I get in when I'm picking a jury, I want to love everybody and listen to everybody and you know, have them feel that I am agreeing with you when you're saying things that are horrible about my case. Yep. So I don't have the ability to both give off that energy and give that receipt and evaluate people at the same time. So when I pick a jury, unless it's a really small case and I can't get anyone with me, which I luckily haven't been there for a long time with my firm, I want someone else with me to make those evaluations. If the case merits it, I'd love to have a jury consultant because it's so much easier, and then they tell you what to argue and what strikes to make. But if not, a partner that's got trial experience that also just has that gift, because not all of us have it. So can you just talk a little bit about, you know, how we combine the, okay, we have data, we have empirical stuff, but then there's an art to this as well.
Yeah. So here's the first thing I want to say to your whole audience, because Michael's hit on a really important point, which is, look, if you're going to end up in trial, a lot of us just don't have cases that warrant that kind of cost in terms of bringing in a jury consultant. Here's what I want you to do, okay? Find the most intuitive person you know. They don't have to be a lawyer. Preferably, they not be a lawyer, because all of us lawyers had what I call a law-botomy, right? We go to law school, we think one way, we act one way, we dress one way, and now after law school, boom, everything changes. We think different, act different, dress different, right? We use words we never used before. Okay, that's the lobotomy. Don't use the lobotomy person, okay? I mean, unless it's somebody that you also think is really intuitive. Find the most intuitive person it is. And guess what, everybody? That person might just be under the roof of your house. It could be your spouse. It could be one of your kids. It could be one of your siblings, one of your parents. Get some, and by the way, jurors love it when you have a family member in a courtroom helping you try a case. Michael, are you blessed with children?
I am. I'm blessed with a wife and two children.
Okay, beautiful. How old are your kids?
About to turn 14. Yeah, no, not at all. My youngest is about to turn 14 next week, and my eldest is 20.
Okay. Your kids can, by the way, have them do your PowerPoints for you, by the way. What these kids can do with PowerPoint is amazing. Okay. Find that intuitive person. I got to tell you, one of the best things you can do, I'm not being a marriage counselor today. That ain't my job. Okay. But I'm telling you, if you trust your spouse's instincts, have them come into the courtroom and sit with you while you're picking a jury. It's amazing. And they will love it, and the jury will love it.
Just on talking about the facts, she hasn't gone to trial with me yet. My wife is about 97-98% accurate over about 130 trials on what the results would be. The only issue is she doesn't sugarcoat it. So she will be telling me, you know, the night before opening, oh, you're going to lose this case. I'm like, thanks a lot. Could you wait? Could you at least give me the I told you so rather than the...
Exactly.
But she's been incredibly accurate.
Michael, on your next trial, think about bringing her in, have her sit with you at the counsel table. But for the audience too, I really want you to think about whoever that intuitive person. It might be a paralegal in your office. It could be a neighbor. If you can't find anybody, here's what you do. Go to some school that's got a psychology department and say to the chairperson of the department, can you please give me the name of the most intuitive graduate or undergraduate student you have? I've got a project for them. I can only pay them a little bit of money, but I want them to help me come in a courtroom and just be my eyes and ears. That's all I want them to do. And I have a little bit of money I can pay you. And you will get a graduate student or undergraduate that's intuitive to help you. There's help to be had out there. You just got to ask for it.
This is great. I look so forward to working with you. I am just really excited. You know, I just finished, we call it the Artificial Intelligence Committee. Now we're calling it the Artificial Intelligence Advocates meeting within my own firm because we're evaluating products. The vendors don't like it because we're testing them. We picked three cases and we're going to run the products, you know, run the cases through the different products and compare the results so that we can actually have some empirical data. But I cannot wait to try this. I'm kicking myself in the butt that last week was so crazy I didn't have time to do it, but I had to get everything done in time to go take my son on a father-son road trip to Dallas, which was also really probably more important than any of my cases, to be honest.
Well, but, can I make a point about that, Michael? I got two last points I want to make with you. This is really important to me.
Absolutely.
And these are the real, what I'm about to say are the real reason why I wanted to come on your show today. Here's the first thing I want to tell your audience. If you want to be a great trial lawyer, I mean, really a great trial lawyer, you ready? Be a great person. Be a great dad. Be a great son. Be a great mom. Be a great sister. Be a great friend. Just be the very best person you can, because when you live your life like that, it not only brings great joy, but jurors can pick up on that in a heartbeat. Yeah. So that means how you treat the bailiff, how you treat the court staff, how you treat your paralegal, all of that is being measured by the jury. So look, point number one, be a great person. That's number one. Point number two I want to make. I've been very blessed with some really big verdicts for lawyers, many really big verdicts. Here's what I've learned. Kathy Bennett taught me this. The greatest verdicts you will have in your life are the moments you spend with your family, okay? So Michael just talked about the road trip with his son up to Dallas. Those are the great verdicts, okay? That's what you focus on, because I'm telling you, you get those great verdicts under your belt, that is that time with your family, you're gonna shine in the courtroom, all right? Yep. And we'll be right there with you to help you. If there's anything we can do to help you, we'll be there to help you.
And thank you. No, and it was awesome because I told him we can go anywhere in the country, in the continental United States. We can fly anywhere. You know, these are the days we'll do whatever you do. You know, and he goes, no, I want a road trip. I want to just drive and spend time with you. I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, it was awesome. It was a great, even though my car broke down, it's still in Dallas. I'm back in San Antonio. It still was a fantastic experience. And
Beautiful.
I've really enjoyed this conversation. You know, I'm really thinking maybe we'll find a case to test and come back when the case is over, and then we can go and once I'm not worried about the defense learning what it was, you know, when the case is actually resolved, we can come back in a year or so and go share the results. This is cutting edge. It's exciting. And thank you so much for everything you're doing and for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Michael. I really appreciate your having me. I think you've done, 188 episodes? How many episodes have you done?
I don't know. I know I started in 2018. And I know that Lisa Blue, who introduced us, was one of the ones I recorded before we went live. I mean, she wasn't the very first one, but she was recorded before the first one went out. And then we just kind of lined up because I needed to get some big names so somebody would listen to me. And luckily, she was nice enough to be one of them. But this has been a joy in my life. I love doing it, and I appreciate you being on it.
Well, you're great at this, Michael. It's a great contribution that you're making to lawyers, and I'm just honored that I could play a small role and be part of it with you. I appreciate every moment I spent with you, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Trial Lawyer Nation. I hope you enjoyed our show.
If you'd like to receive updates, insider information, and more from Trial Lawyer Nation, sign up for our mailing list at triallawyernation.com. You can also visit our episodes page on the website for show notes and direct links to any resources in this or any past episode. To help more attorneys find our podcast, please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast on any of our social media outlets. If you'd like access to exclusive plaintiff lawyer-only content and live monthly discussions with me, send a request to join the Trial Lawyer Nation Insider Circle Facebook group. Thanks again for tuning in. I look forward to having you with us next time on Trial Lawyer Nation.
Each year, the law firm of Cowan Rodriguez Peacock pays millions of dollars in co-counsel fees to attorneys nationwide on trucking and commercial vehicle cases. If you have an injury case involving death or catastrophic injuries and would like to partner with our firm, please contact us by calling 210-941-1301 to discuss the case in detail and see where we can add value in a partnership. This podcast has been hosted by Michael Cowan and is not intended to, nor does it create, the attorney-client privilege between our host, guest, and any listener for any reason. Content from the podcast is not to be interpreted as legal advice. All thoughts and opinions expressed herein are only those from which they came.